Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
Podcaster Sean Allen, who's... Hey, Spice.
I've been going hard. I've been working, yeah.
Peace. What you're listening to right now is my new single featuring Pretty Blanco, Isaiah 41. Make sure you load that up everywhere on all DSPs.
They screaming, bloody murder for bodies laid on the floor. We hurt.
You're new here. Thank you for tapping in with ASAP. I'm Sean Allen.
And this is Steven Spicer.
Again, if you are new here, make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, write a review. All that good shit. Help me out.
Yes, sir.
What's the response to this, though? The public response to
Well, naturally, if I'm being, like, if I'm being honest, because, you know, I'm pretty humble, bro. You know what I'm saying? But it really reminded me that I really can rap. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope, man.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Like, I really, really, especially, like, because I know you a critical nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just what you told me, and then, like, just listening to the homies who are critical as well.
Right.
It's like, nah, bro, you can really rap. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm in the car in London, so we on the wrong side of the road. And how they driving shit. And it was, again, I do put my shit in my playlist.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to sneak up on you.
Right.
And my homie was like, he was like, what is this, man? This is pretty dope. He was like, is this new?
Right.
And I was like, that's what you got. Yeah, I'm like, nah, that's brand new, but it got that hip hop feeling. Niggas is so not used to real rap anymore. They don't even know what they're listening to. It's just really, really sad. It's really fucked up. You know, you're doing your thing with Isaiah 41. Shout out to Pretty Blanco. And again, you guys listening to this, tap those links in the description so you guys can add this to your playlist, your library, whatever. That's the homie Steven right there. Partner in crime. But yeah, man.
So obviously, you know, we got to get into basically your birthday trip, right?
Yeah, man, my fucking shit. London, probably like my fourth year I spent in London birthday.
Yeah.
It's incredible, man. I kind of like every time I go there, I have like a moment where I try to go at least twice a year in the summer and on my birthday, but I try to go at least twice a year.
Do you have like a preferable season to go or not?
I really don't. I like to go on my birthday because shout out to Cyan Anderson. So you guys listening to this, you ever go to London, black owned restaurant. My friend's in London. She owns a restaurant called Octave's Kitchen.
It is
in Hackney. Her food is amazing.
That's dope.
Amazing. Like, I can't even put it into words. When I go there and I eat her shit, it's like really, really bomb. Really, obviously, it's good. She got a restaurant, right? And it's like off the chain. But the food is just amazing. I had my birthday dinner at her restaurant, Octave's Kitchen. She's fucking, the food is so fire that reservations are available in March. So you can't eat there until March.
That's crazy.
That's how fire her food is. And they have Caribbean restaurants and African restaurants and shit all in London. But her shit is like, and it's not even like on no internet shit, even though she does have an internet presence. You know, she's a celebrity, whatever. Right, she does her thing out there. But the food is just, it's really just good. It's just good. And like people are, so like one of my homeboys, shout out to Alex. Alex is Ghanaian. He's from Ghana. He lives in London. He was like, so I hit him up. They don't know each other, but they do now, obviously. He was like, where you have your birthday dinner at? Instead of having an Octave's Kitchen. He was like, Octave's Kitchen? I'm like, yeah, what's the big deal about that? He said, dude, I've been trying to get in there since they've been open. I was like, oh, really? He was like, this is the first person that told me that they have like that fucking demand. I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, well, I could go there anytime. Right. He was like, how? I said, the fucking owner is my friend, Cyan. He was like, really? And he freaked out. I'm like, oh, it's that big of a deal. So I knew the shit was a big deal because it is. I just knew it was a big deal, but I didn't know it was like fucking like Soho House type shit. Like, you know what I mean? Members only and shit. But anyway, shout out to Cyan. Dope. So anyway, I had the birthday dinner. People, all my friends, not all my friends, but, you know, my good friends in London. Some of them know each other. Some of them don't know each other. They came together and we fucking
had a time.
We shut down a restaurant.
That's what's up.
A bunch of food, man. Incredible. I can't even explain it. It just felt, and I think the more special, what made it even more special is that Cyan been talking about opening a restaurant and to see her finally do it.
In real time.
And like the first time she cooked was for me was on my birthday a few years ago.
That's crazy.
And then to see it actually happen. And like, and it's not like no like half-assed shit. It's like a nice, the decor is sexy as fuck. Like that's the whole, it looks expensive. I'm pretty sure the shit is expensive. The shit is sexy as fuck. So like, she didn't just like open a fucking storefront and say, I got a kitchen and a restaurant. No, the shit is sexy as hell.
Yeah.
The food is bomb, man. The food is just, I'm just so proud of her. And I'm so proud that, you know, I have a home. Like every time I go there, every time I go to London, it reminds me why, you know, I love it so much out there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, ironically, not even on the bush. I was like, man, the way you kind of talk about London, it feels like it's like your second home down there.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
Every time I go out there, I have like these moments. They're very communal.
Yeah,
out there, like the people I know, they're very into like, family, like. Friends, but they're just communal. They look out for each other differently than, I would say, Americans do.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is that? I don't want to make it a black thing or a Caribbean thing or an African thing. It's like an immigrant thing, like a migrant thing. Because most migrants, people who are from other places, are very insulated and very, like, they take care of each other differently.
They have to.
So when I go there, it's like people are, like, really looking out. And, and not for me because I'm special. Right. Like I see them do it for each other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because that's what they are.
You know what I mean? Because their background is different from my background. Our background here in America. Your background is probably similar. I mean,
for sure, right? Naturally. Yeah, for sure.
So, like, I enjoy that, man. I enjoy that because I'm a very social person, and I'm extrovert and introvert. But like out there, kind of supports all that. I like the fucking, I say it in Brixton, man. Brixton is, so like, I know London. I know my way around London. But the fucking Brixton, that was my first time staying in Brixton. That shit is hood as fuck.
Is it, like, because I only
heard. Get off the train.
Yeah.
And niggas is like selling weed or whatever they selling.
Whatever they doing.
Right there, right wing. I'm like, oh shit, this is. And my friend go try to say, this is the Crenshaw of. Of London, I'm like, okay,
right. There's a lot that implies with Crenshaw, bro.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay,
I hear you.
You know what I mean? But you know, I get. But it was like, it was. Brixton is dope, man. I think it's one of the.
You heard of Peckham?
I know all about Peckham.
Okay.
Shout out to Prince of Peckham. What you know about Peckham?
That's just because of dancing. Just because of dancing. Just because of dancing. Oh, Idris.
He's Nigerian.
He's Nigerian. That's where he's from.
They got a spot called Prince of Peckham. It's a bar there, or a pub.
Yeah.
I don't really say bars. I think they say pub. And I went there like 3 times when I was there. Prince of Peckham.
Prince of Peckham.
It's like the only or the oldest black owned pub. So when I'm there too, I try to be intentional about the black owned shit too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dope, man. Peckham is South London as well. It's not too far from Brixton. They got fucking trains there though, so you gotta like Uber or like ride the like the Spice Girls bus. Remember that bus?
Yeah.
But the trains don't go out there. I know about Peckham, man. It's so funny too because niggas be like, Brixton are, you know, it's rough, and the people from out there are Peckham, kind of watch out. And I just like, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, it's just different.
Right. You know what I mean?
But they got an eye that I don't got because I'm not from there. I got an eye from that they don't got because, and I'm about to get hung for this, but they out there trying to emulate what we do. So my eye is a little, we've been on this shit. Y'all just got on this shit. We've been on that shit. You know what I mean? That street shit, that ain't nothing to celebrate or anything like that. Right. But it's just different, man. I just love it. So when you get the chance to go out there, man,
I really want to talk to you about it because you know what I'm saying? You're like one of the, well, not even one of them, but you're a well-traveled black man.
Yeah, like, man.
Specifically to Europe. And I'm always interested on how we fare out there. You know what I'm saying? Because I keep hearing mixed shit.
I think because you have you're Honduran.
Right.
You're black, but you're Honduran. I learn a lot about, like, the immigrant, like, black thing.
Space.
And that's an experience I don't have, but you have that experience. And I think it's just, you connect probably more than I connect. Mm. And I connect to the max, but I think that it would hit a little bit different from you. Because you probably see yourself more in those people there than you do here.
Right.
Because of the migrant.
Immigrant kind
of. Yeah, you know.
That's a good one.
But they be talking shit about Americans. Like, man, we be catching heat.
Naturally.
And I'm like,
do you feel like, so when you hear the harsh, you know, just the critique in general, do you feel like some of that shit is warranted? Or you be like, man,
all be true when they be talking shit about Americans and African Americans or black Americans.
Uh-huh.
It could be all valid, but it becomes invalidated because they try to emulate what we do.
What we do.
You know what I mean?
So it's kind of like.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, y'all talking shit about us, but like.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, same thing with that Tyler thing that. What's going on now? Shout out to Tyler from South Africa. That colored thing, you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm arguing with people about this now. I know all about the colored shit in South Africa and the ethnic groups and backgrounds and shit like that. But if you're trying to come to America, that is not going to work.
As far as using that word.
You can't say that out here. That's like saying that's derogatory.
That's extremely derogatory.
So,
that's like one step away from
you cannot,
hard N-word.
Anti-Semitic, whatever you guys want to say about it, we don't say colored out here. White people don't even say that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Unless they're from the South and you know what time they're on.
And my homies out there in South Africa and Europe and shit, they're like, oh, she's colored because that's her background. I'm like, yeah, okay, be colored and be proud of whatever your fucking ethnicity is. But you're trying to tap into the American market. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to find some language identity surrounding that. But that shit is not going to fly out here.
I mean, look what they did to Lotto and her name. Remember?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Prime example.
Mulatto.
Yeah.
Killed her for it. Her
you can't say that shit. Yeah, you can't say that shit. Especially if you try to. And Lotto was from here. And she still had to.
She still got heat.
You can't do that shit. So I'm telling my homies in South Africa and people online and shit are arguing about it and shit. I'm like, I love the color thing, whatever. If we go to South Africa, we probably would be colored, right?
Right. As far as like classification, how they call
yeah, they because I'm not South African, so if my South African people are listening to this, do not hang me.
Right.
But because we don't have
what you say?
We don't have Zulu features as black people.
Right.
We don't have that phenotype that gotcha. The native black people there have.
Right.
We possibly would be considered colored.
Colored.
You know what I mean? Before they assume that we're, because they kind of have a look. The black people there kind of have a look, and we don't have that look.
Right.
I'm not South African, so I'm just speaking out of turn right now to make a point. But I've been told a million times from my friends from South Africa that if I went to South Africa, they would definitely consider me colored. And colored basically is just mixed.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It's not even like a real thing. It's just like mixed. That's all it is. It could be white and black. Or they don't say black. It could be white and Zulu. It could be Indian and Zulu. It could be all the three in Zulu. Zulu kind of being black, one of the biggest black ethnic groups out there, Zulu.
Yeah.
So, and they call those people that are mixed colored. You know what I mean? So when Tyler was saying she colored, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I know that. But, like, she'll be better off saying I'm a mixed black girl or that I'm black of this or ethnic background. Or she can even say, you know, I'm Zulu and Indian. Cause I think that's what she is.
That's what she's like specifically
Zulu and Indian, right? She would be better off saying she's Zulu and Indian versus saying she's fucking colored. Like you can't say that here.
To the American audience, that's just not.
It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work for black people in America, and it's not gonna. The white people are not even gonna like adopt that. So I was telling them online, I'm like, and my South African friends, I'm like, you guys are going. She's going to have to find. Some language surrounding her identity. You know what I mean? You know, because... And then, here's the thing. If she wasn't trying to tap into that American marketplace...
She probably wouldn't even have a problem.
Who gives a fuck then, right? But since you're trying to sign a Sylvia Rhone and Epic Records and want to come on a Jennifer Hudson show and the Power 106 and all that type of stuff, you got to fucking learn the law of the land. And if you don't, if you guys have a problem with... fucking African-Americans, stop fucking trying to pander to our fucking market.
Right.
That's just what it is.
Simple. It's not. It's
you
not
know what hard. I mean?
Simple.
If you want to hear this full segment unedited and uncensored, go to patreon.com/HarrySapp or just follow the link in the description. You also find uncensored, exclusive, extended, and have access to episodes and clips before everybody else, all ad-free.
It's bad language. You can't say color. Yeah, she just can't.
Yeah, it's just when I was seeing like some of the
discourse surrounding the word.
Back forth around, I'm like, okay. Then it was like some points that were being made that I was like, okay, I understand. But the whole point as to why we're here is because Tyler is positioning herself to the African American audience.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's what y'all need to understand on the continent then. Yeah. It's not necessarily about how y'all classify yourselves. It's the combination of you or her marketing to the African-American experience or to the African-American culture that's causing discourse with your name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or with how you classify yourself as a human being. Like, okay, that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, man. It's like, again... You want a piece of this American pie, you have to
play ball.
Be respectful.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Be respectful. And if you can't follow the rule, they're about to get in my ass about this. If you can't follow the rules, then don't come over here to play.
Or just don't be surprised when you have a hard fucking time, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because again, like we were saying, if Lotto, who is our own, had to change her name because niggas was on her ass.
Yeah.
What makes you think you're not going to fare any better, bro? You got to play ball.
Basically, man, you have to. Again, it's just like being equipped and educated on the language and on the audience you're trying to tap into.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, Tyler signed to a black woman, Sylvia Rhone. Shout out to Sylvia Rhone, responsible for propelling Missy Elliott's career.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sylvia Rome been in the game forever, but Epic Records, you know, so you signed to an African-American woman.
To an American label.
Right, you know, so it's like, okay, you got to play chess, you know what I mean? So as I was saying, I was like, the proper way for her to identify, I can't tell anybody how to identify, but
she
got to say, I'm black, yeah. I'm a mixed black girl.
Right.
Or I'm Zulu and educate us. Be ready to educate
us. For sure.
You know what I mean? But you can't just say you're colored. That's not going to
work
on American audience. Hell especially no. Especially as she get big, they go put her with the black girls. Right. Anyway.
Naturally.
You know what I mean? And if that's the case, then, if y'all got such a problem with her calling herself black, this is to my South African people. If you guys have a problem with calling, with her putting black in her racial identity, then when BT invite her to Black Girls Rock, she better not accept that fucking invitation. You know how black. You know how BT have the fucking Black Girls Rock thing?
Yeah.
And they honor the black girls every year.
She wouldn't classify there if that's the case.
Exactly. But she ain't gonna turn that down. She'll be that black girl.
For sure.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You gotta fucking.
I'm gonna ask you because you're a little bit more closer than I am. So is that like a thing? Like is the terminology black a thing in South Africa or no?
No, that's like an American thing.
Oh, okay.
And like a European thing. A fucking person in Nigeria don't have to say they black.
It's not a thing.
It's just everybody black.
Right, it's not verbiage.
Yeah, everybody black. They'll say, like, a Nigerian person say, like, I'm Igbo or Yoruba.
They speak from their tribe.
Yeah, their ethnic background.
Right.
Yeah, that's an American thing. That is a South American, North American, Central American thing, and a European thing. It's new to Europe because black people are kind of new to Europe. You know what I mean? Yeah. The sense of the history and stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think they ever say black in South Africa.
Interesting.
I think if I met, okay, I got a friend out there in South Africa, and she say she's Zulu.
Like, so she's talking from a
straight up.
Yeah.
But, okay, great example, too. I'm about to show you her picture, too.
I like that a lot, actually.
But she lives here. She lives here now. Hold on. Let me pull her up so I can show you. Shout out to... She's fine. So she lives here in L.A. And she's a black girl.
Absolutely.
That's what she said. She's a black girl. She's not Zulu or colored or whatever they was doing in South Africa, because she knows she's in America now. And she, you know, if she want to be a model, a successful model, or part of the American market, she knew. But I think she was educated enough to know before she got here, that's how things are here. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not telling her to deny her background or her ethnicity or anything like that. It's just, you know, okay, I'm in a place where they do things differently. And if I, you know, want a piece of the pie, I have to find the correct language for me to. We all black, too.
Hold on, Sean. Lead with that first, dog.
We all black. We all niggas. Here's the thing. When the police pull Tyler, too. Tyler, I know you listen to ASAP. When them cops pull you over, and it's a car full of white girls, and you the only girl in there that got some melanin on you. They ain't gonna
who they gonna fuck with.
They will be like, get that black bitch out the front
That's
seat.
A fact.
They ain't gonna be like, oh, she's colored, so we're gonna not. They don't give a fuck about that.
They don't give two.
And this
fucks.
Is the market you trying to tap into. So
see, lead with that, man. We have a much more cool conversation. Lead with that, man.
I'm not trying to rock the boat too much because I'm trying to have a few of the South African homies on here.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope. Oh, bro, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
Damn.
They got a remote in, though. They ain't going to be able to come in the studio. I should ask Lulu. Let me DM Lulu right now anyway.
Then I can bring my nigga Shalom, bro.
Where's he from?
From Nigeria.
Oh, them niggas always want to fight. Oh, yeah, but. You know, another thing that been making airwaves besides this fucking...
Tyler shit
is this Diddy stuff, man.
Man, it's nasty work over there, big dog.
Do you believe it?
Yeah, for sure.
I believe every bit of it. Every allegation somebody come out with that makes it to court, because they said there's like three pending cases against him, I believe him. We've been hearing about him since the beginning of time.
Well, that's so for me, I've like specifically with like the sexual shit, I've been recently seeing all type of clips. And like, you know what I'm saying? Obviously this nigga 50 is like been going.
He's on it. He's on
his ass. Stupid hard. Like with just like recent clips that I've been seeing. I'm like, damn, I didn't know like nigga got damn kind of sick like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Diddy, man. Since Diddy been a thing, we've always heard those rumors about him, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Cause this also like this underneath shit that's happening with him. That I'm kind of like confused about. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Like what?
Just like, it's like not him being an abusive piece of shit, right? But just his sexuality is something that I'm just like, okay, what's that about? I don't understand that.
That's so interesting. That people, how am I going to approach this part?
I'm with you.
He's been accused of rape and like,
right,
abuse.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so aside from, you know what I'm saying?
So his sexuality should be like the smallest part of it, because his sexuality is whatever his sexuality is. Him being a sexual deviant should be more of the conversation. Not the fact that he sleeps with men and women.
Yeah.
The fact that he rapes and he's an abuser and he help people against their will and
should
drug
lead
people
the conversation
up,
always
should lead the conversation. And I feel like a thing that I don't want to say all black people, but people in the comments, this girl literally did like a 37 page court doc
shit
detailing her experience with Diddy. You know, I think she was with him for
it's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
12 years, Cassie, and she talking about he whooped her ass, he, like, blacked her eye, just horrible, horrific things. And the comments is talking about him being gay. And I'm just like,
who gives a fuck, bro?
Yeah, I'm like, this girl, I'm like, this is what you guys, this is a long, so we ain't got time for that part of it. But I was like, I wonder why black people are like latching onto that part.
We ain't got time for that.
That's so funny. It's like, because it's kind of feel like him.
You know what? I thought about it. Maybe the idea of black masculinity is what's popping into niggas' heads.
I think it's a lot of those things, right? I was like, okay, like people really don't respect women. You know what I mean? People, niggas don't like women.
Niggas don't like women.
Ooh, people God, don't respect man. Women. God, and then man. People don't.
And niggas, and here, hold on real quick, because I know niggas are going to think that we are pandering when we say that. And let's just set the fucking record straight.
Because look, here's the thing. Before you even get into that, it's like him, like doing all those things that Cassie said he done to her. Obviously, he done it because he settled with her. They said they said yeah, they said he settled for $100 million. She asked for $30 million. He gave her $100 million. That's what the streets are saying. $100 million. But anyway, it's like the most. It's like the most immoral thing. Wasn't him beating her or raping her or drugging her up for 13 years. The most immoral thing was
him being a sexual fucking deviant?
Yeah, I'm like, so him beating her ass and abusing her for all these years, it's not that bad.
It's not that
but
bad.
Him being gay and sleeping with men is 10 times worse.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, y'all like.
We got shit fucked up, but so, because I want to also be fair, well, not even be fair, but just highlight. Obviously, where that might, not even might, where it comes from. Like, I feel like we all understand, right, that the way black men specifically been portrayed in media has always been tricky, has always been something that's like, because almost too, a lot of niggas don't like to say this shit, right?
Right.
But a lot of black men in general just feel like we can't fucking defend ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, as it pertains to when niggas make certain allegations, it's almost like, all you have to do is throw smut on a nigga name, and that's the end of that nigga, as far as perception-wise, how he looks. Because we know that there's a sensitive thing to touch on as it pertains to black men and how they move in our scene in the world. You know what I'm saying?
That's true if we weren't talking about Diddy.
Right. So I was saying that as, like, just an aside. Like, I get it, right? But at the same time, what you're saying is facts. No, niggas don't like women.
Oh yeah,
let's
definitely.
Let's just come on, like, like just let's just talk about how we are raised, right?
Okay, so I see where you're going.
You know what I'm saying?
So like, I feel like what happens a lot in the black community, we've seen it with R. Kelly, we've seen it with Tory Lanez, we've seen it with Diddy. Even Michael Jackson.
You could say, and yeah, fuck it, throw bro in the
So body. When throw a black man body. Makes it to, the, achieves this level of success, we become very, very protective.
That's a fact.
Very, very protective. And that is because of the traumas and the history of being black in this country, or probably globally. So I think that's why people have such a hard time.
Knee-jerk reaction. Like, so,
yeah. Because even, like, the fucking Tory Lanez thing, too. Like,
Strange.
People don't even like listen to his music, but people became fans after he shot that girl. And that was just so
weird.
Wild to me.
Weird.
I'm like, I don't even like them. But I think there's a thing. We just, like you said, a knee-jerk reaction where we just collectively just protect
the men.
Black men of power have made it out, so to speak. Who have made it. We would protect them at all costs or turn a blind eye.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know what I mean? Ooh. And that's what happened with R. Kelly. That's what happened with the preacher at Mount Moriah Baptist Church. That's what happened, you know, with our uncles or whatever. You know, we would turn a blind eye. We're even taught that. Shit. You know what I mean? We're taught that growing up. You know,
for the sake of the idea of
protection. How many times? Well, see, you a different black than I am, but my mom used to say stuff like, don't tell people what's going on in this house. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, I'm gonna be honest. I just think there's a through line. You know what I'm saying? Cuz I mean, I've not to even throw nobody out there, but I unfortunately had to deal with some like not allegations, but you know what I'm saying? Like I kind of had to deal with some molestations, and it's kind of like
right.
Nobody necessarily thought to like, hey, are you okay?
Right,
you know what I'm saying, or how are you? Like, fuck him, type shit.
I appreciate that vulnerability, and that's sensitive. So we're not even about to play with that with you.
Yeah, off top.
So when you're ready, we could dive into that. It's that weird thing that happens, right? How many instances where the homie came up, or even yourself, ooh, be like, oh, I'm, you know, I lost my virginity when I was 12, 13 years old to this 20-year-old woman.
Come on.
That's so common, man.
So, okay, so can we just stay here for a little bit? So, listen. So, because I feel like, in general, it all ties back into itself at, this, at the end of the day, right? So, because remember, you put me on to that little nigga TJ. Or JT, I think. Little JT, right? And I feel like we're literally seeing what you're saying in real time. It's just that, again, we're so desensitized to the shit that it just looked regular.
Right.
It just looked regular. But let's just be honest, right? So, little black boys, nobody protects us.
Nobody.
And if I say that shit out loud, I'm going to be viewed a certain way.
Yeah.
But it's a fact. So we end up not being protected.
Right.
Right. We end up having to warp and contort ourselves into fucking teenagers who have been touched and not protected.
Right.
And then we turn around and be those same exact niggas to the females that we deal with.
Right.
And then we get the finger pointed back at us as the fucking problem. And it's like, nigga, you fostered when you didn't protect me.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm not doing is saying that it's okay. What I am saying is that it wasn't okay when I was little.
Right.
And you didn't find it enough in yourself to protect me. So then when this little nigga turns into a fucking monster, you're not blaming yourself. Because it's too hard to blame yourself, bro. Hey, Sean, it's too hard to blame yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As like the catalyst for who turns out to be fucked up. Not saying that it's women, but I'm saying the adults around who don't protect these children.
And when we hear about cases like the uncle touching the nephew. Okay, so I think what happens there, because we hear the story a lot about the uncle touching the nephew and the niece. Or I'm going to say that we'll focus on the nephew. The parent in the family of that little boy who was touched by that uncle, the fear is not about the damage or the trauma that the child experienced. The fear is more about that child growing up in the world and being attracted to the same sex. And then, because the family is going to see, okay, so if my little son grow up and is a faggot, they're going to look at me as a horrible parent because I think it's more about like the public perception.
It's more about image.
Correct. It's very, very image driven.
Fuck.
And that happens because of, it's not the fault of black people. It's the fault of how black men have been emasculated over the centuries,
over the
years or whatever.
So basically how we're socialized.
So, yeah, definitely. So I think it has a lot to do with that. So with the Diddy thing, Cassie talking about he then raped her and whooped her ass, and everybody in the comments talking about he had niggas fuck her or he was fucking with niggas and shit like that. That was like the most dehumanizing thing that we all found
and latched on to.
And fuck that he was whooping her ass and like was jugging her up for 13 years. No, the fact that there's a speculation that he may be into some same-sex shit is
the
way
most damning
detrimental
thing
than anything else in his 37-page document.
It's fucked
that,
up. Though.
And so that all comes from
full circle.
Us being emasculated by the colonizers.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know what I mean? Whole, like, deep conversation, man, when it comes to that. And a lot of like the black man identity is rooted in, you know,
perception.
But listen to this, like when we're going back to the slaves, so we always have an outline and we end up talking about shit that don't have anything to do with the outline. But you know, if I was a slave master, I want the biggest person, the biggest man, the biggest, strongest man, the biggest, strongest woman, you know what I mean? So the perception of the black man was big,
strong, tall, dark.
So, and then, you know, baby factories, right? That's the slaves were just having kids.
Just left and
very,
left.
Very fertile, just having kids because they were products, right? So, like, in our communities, you know, growing up in the hood or whatever, we got homies that got five different baby mamas and he's still getting coochie.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's where his that's where he found his most value. He found his most value in his sexuality and being, you know, it's the same shit. Unfortunately, and I do not want to turn this into this, but like we find a lot of value in our sexuality, black men and women. We find value in sexuality. We find most of our value in sexuality.
That could be
our bodies, twerking, sexy red. Like
that's a fact, bro.
You know what I mean? So that's why find that all the time. Like when they're talking about, like in particular, black men. Diddy, back to Diddy, all these allegations about him that we know are true, right? Because we've been hearing these since the beginning of time. Right. But the people are talking about him being in same-sex relations. This nigga was like killed people and was beating the girl ass. And there's a video of him and, you know, pictures of him and a girl or of Cassie with black guy. I mean, R. Kelly, you know what I mean?
Right.
Soon as they found out that R. Kelly, that some guys came out with some allegations against R. Kelly, it was a shift in the way people consumed his music. They were like, oh, I ain't listening to that nigga no more. So you guys drew the line when you guys found out that he was fucking with little boys too.
Right.
But when he was fucking with black girls, there's just so much.
It went in and out your head.
Like, yeah, there's just so much attachment to that sexual identity that we just have and we weaponize.
But here's where it gets fucking tricky with R. Kelly.
What?
Because it goes back down to what you said earlier. See how crazy it is? Because he was supposedly molested, touched on when he was a fucking kid, bro.
Well, so that's another thing. I'm glad we're talking about this, too. More people have been molested or endured sexual abuse than we talk about. And a lot of people that have experienced sexual abuse don't even know that they experienced sexual abuse.
I mean, just to be honest, right? Just to kind of not shift the narrative, but because it's still in the same house, you know what I'm saying? Like when I was 21 or 20, I worked at a convalescent home.
Okay.
And it's so crazy how this shit like kind of like turns or whatever. But
you worked at Country Villas?
It was Centinella.
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. It was called, I think, Centinella, Florence and Centinella, some shit like that.
All right.
But I was a CNA, and my LVN, which was like my supervisor, was an African lady, right? Like, nigga, she touched me inappropriately, bro. Like, one, she, like, would make, like, sexual gestures. So I remember one time she had looked at me, she was like that, and I was, like, confused. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my first real interaction with like a grown ass woman,
right?
Like sexually, like that. Like she had to be like 35 or some shit like that. So I was confused. I'm like, nigga, she hitting on me? But you know, this is the paradigm of her being my superior,
right?
So it was like a lot of fear involved of me just having to feel like I gotta go along with the shit, even though I feel like this is wrong. You know what I'm saying? We had got in the room one night, checking on a patient, and she was like, "Lift up your shirt." And I was like, okay. I lifted up and she was just like touching my abs.
Wow.
And she was like, yeah, I need that. And I was just like looking like.
Where was the patient?
Right there, bro. Sleep.
Dead or sleep?
Yeah. And it was like, I was just like I didn't know what to do with this. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. And were you uncomfortable?
Yes, bro. Like she was, don't get me wrong. She was attractive. But this is where it gets. This is what I'm saying. This is where it gets so fucked up.
Oh, nigga, you gay? You gay?
That's immediately what I thought about. But the whole time,
I can't tell the homies this.
The whole I'm thinking about that, and the whole time I'm like, why the fuck do I feel this way? Because I had so many feelings.
Right.
I was like, why is she fucking touching me, bro?
That's kind of creepy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, okay, you are attractive, but I don't. Who's to say that I want you fucking touching me just because you're a woman, nigga?
Right.
That's in my head. That's why I was like, fuck. Then we went into the other room just to kind of play out how fucking crazy it was for me. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit like fucked me up. Like that experience fucked me up. We went into the other room, about to change a patient, and like that experience just happened. So I just didn't fucking trust her being around solo. She had told me to do something, and I was just like, no. And she, like, looked at me. She's like, come here. And she like slapped me. And I was just like, you know what I'm saying? And I
could tell. How many years ago was it? I know you were 20.
Years ago. I'm 32. Oh, this was years ago.
Because I'm saying? Could go draft up a lawsuit.
Yeah, bro. So I was just like, I could tell like she's going to make my life a living hell working here. You know what I'm saying? But thankfully, next thing you know, she had got like let go for some other shit.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But that was my experience.
She was African?
She was African.
She was Nigerian?
I'm not going to even cap. I feel like she was.
Wow.
I feel like she was. But, you know, not that I feel like that has anything to do with anything, but.
Has a lot to do with it.
I feel you. But in general, like, when I don't even think about that shit.
Right.
Not because I don't want to, but I don't know what to do with that memory.
Wow.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, what do I do with
that? Is this the first time we talked about that?
No. Okay. But I don't talk about it either at the same time. I like made it mention it here and there. But like I don't really recall.
Did you tell your mom?
No, fuck no. She would lose her shit.
Oh wow. That is kind of weird. But wow.
Yeah, bro. So again, it goes back down to what we're talking about, specifically what you're saying. Just how niggas is like socialized with this idea,
right,
that we can't be sufferers or victims of SA.
Not at all,
a little bit.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you have that in mind, it's interesting seeing how men, just male culture, how you have to navigate this right. world being on the male side, and you have to deal with issues like that when only one gender or one sex group gets to hold on to the idea of being assaulted sexually,
right,
and being quote unquote victimized sexually. It's just interesting to me how everything else kind of dominoes effects from that idea. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's kind of interesting because I think we are now entering a society or an environment, I'm gonna say, not society, but I was having a conversation with one of my homeboys recently, and he was talking about how back to the virginity thing, he was like, he lost his virginity when he was 13 years old to like a 19-year-old woman watching, who was like the nanny.
Shit.
He said they was fucking for like 2 years.
Shit.
His parents knew. His parents, he ended up telling his parents, when like, so she's out the house now. She's, you know, he's old enough to watch his brothers and sisters. And he had to talk with his parents. And he told his parents, like, I lost my virginity to
the fucking nanny.
To the fucking nanny. And they didn't do anything. They were like, dad gave him a high five and everything. And he said that he didn't realize how that it was bad until he was old enough and got his own kids and wife and needed a nanny himself. He said he needed to hire some help. And the first thing he thought about was his son and this woman. Because it happened to him. And I was like, that's crazy that his parents didn't even
protect him, dog.
Protect him at all. But here's the thing. Like, he went to school and he was getting high-fived and dapped by everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, so here's the other thing. Is it bad now, but it was acceptable then? Right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, I think it all comes back down to socialization. It all comes back because, like, again, like I told you, I didn't know what to do with what happened because I had that conundrum in my head.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt extremely uncomfortable. Imagine me telling somebody, bro, that I felt uncomfortable being touched on by a grown-ass, sexy-ass woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, like, nigga, they would have ran you out of the
They would have ran niggas like a track meet, bro. Shit would have been sad.
Do you think that you're able to talk about this now because you have a son, your own family?
I think in general, it comes back down to, I think I forgot about it for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And for some reason, it just popped up in my head. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Why did I forget about that? How did I forget about that? Probably because I felt so, I think the brain does this too. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think I just felt so helpless. I had to leave my psyche.
right.
in order for me to just survive, I guess.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it just popped up, and I'm just like, fuck, that happened. And I think a lot of men go through that shit when they hit adulthood. I'm like, damn, that happened. And they just mosey up on the day. Because, again, who gives a fuck about you at the end of the day as a man?
Is this a black thing, though, a black man thing, or is it you think it's across the board?
I feel like I want to be fair. I feel like it is across the board, but I do think it gets a little bit more sick when you start to go down the color palette. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think it gets a lot more sinister.
So, the solution, a micro solution, right? Because the solution starts with the whole community and society. But the micro solution, how are you ensuring that this doesn't happen to your son?
He's not sleeping over nowhere.
That's so crazy. Everybody say that though.
Yeah.
You just spend the night over your friend's house when he's young?
The homie's house, no. But you know, cousins, it was up. You know what I'm saying?
My sister don't let nobody spend a night. My sister don't let my niece sleep nowhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's
it is what it is. It is what it is. Nobody sleeping over my crib because niggas ain't about to have no allegations on me. My son ain't about to sleep over nobody else's crib, nigga. Let's keep it like that. It is what it is.
How old is your son?
He's 6.
Do you have conversations with him about, like, bad touch, good touch?
Since he was little.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's dope. That's positive. That's very progressive.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, man. I like that we are entering the space as black men and protection. Just as black people. To where we could talk about these things
and not have it be so fucking taboo, man.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to ensure that this doesn't happen to the young people that come after. I don't know what these new parents, so I don't think, I'm not going to put you in the batch of these new parents, but these new parents, man.
I feel you, bro. I think, you know, Glasses, I don't know if you peeped my story, you probably didn't, but Glasses has said something to the effect of, like, we're so in a fake inclusive space that, like, nigga, the devil can come up to you right now, offer you $1,000, and niggas will take it and be like, nigga, I don't know what God talking about. The devil cool. And I was just like,
Glasses Malone said that?
Glasses, young Glasses Malone. When he said it, I was like, nigga, it feels so profound and yet so simple. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, that's true. That's true. We're so in the space of inclusivity that, nigga, we like the lines of what's moral and what's not moral.
All right.
Are just blurred, dog. Are just blurred.
Wow, that's so true. That's...
Like, niggas just bought. You can buy niggas, bro. And I mean that in more ways. That's why I fuck with you, but in general, like,
well,
there's just niggas don't draw lines in the sand. Like, I get, like, when we was coming up, I get how problematic it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Of, like, just because, you know, just where I was at. If niggas seen you with certain niggas, that's like not the death sentence, but you gonna have a hard time. When niggas see you outside. Niggas will be like, oh, you with them neighborhood niggas, or you with them Hoover niggas, so I don't fuck with you.
Right.
And that could be problematic because them niggas could literally be just family. Right. Or just niggas that you grew up with, which is my case. You know what I'm saying? Just grew up with niggas. But, like, not having lines drawn can be just as problematic.
So, here's the thing, too. Back on the Diddy thing, niggas is still lined up to work with him.
Still lined up to work with that nigga.
With all those allegations and
all the smut.
Niggas is still lined up to work with them. And that goes into what you were saying with Glasses Malone.
Yeah.
With, you know, posted, everybody could be bought.
Everybody could be bought.
You know what I mean? Niggas will sell their soul.
Absolutely.
But,
and the thing about it, Sean, they'll look at you stupid. If you be like, damn, nigga, you gonna do that? They gonna be like, yeah, nigga, what you mean? You not gonna do that? Oh, you a sucker. You missing out.
Follow me, Other Sean Allen everywhere. That is the Other Sean Allen, O-T-H-E-R, Sean Allen.
And also follow me at Steven Spicer 0.
And if you haven't, make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, write, or review.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.